morning. That's awesome. Awesome to be in church. I'm glad to hear that. I feel like it's been such a perfect service. Now I get a chance to screw it up, all right? And so that is wonderful. Now let's go to Philippians chapter number 3 this morning. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 7. I'm actually going to, can you get me another one of these? It's in the back. Give me another 9-volt. They're in the back office. How those guys back there help you. All right, Philippians chapter number 3. And verse number 7. So Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for church today. It's been wonderful. I've been blessed just to be here, to hear the singing, and to fellowship with your believers, and to see you do marvelous things in our life and our hearts even now. And God, I do pray now as we get into your word, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Help us to live for your purposes. And God, I do pray that you bless this time. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Our theme this year, should be obvious, it's everywhere, is with purpose. We want to live with purpose. And so as we begin this year, 2018, as we begin to end the first month of the year. Again, we're down to one already down, and so we're already on to the next one this week in the month of February. But do you know what your purpose is? It's very important that you understand what your purpose is, because it's this purpose that is going to drive us. We are going to be driven from this purpose, and where there is no purpose, ultimately, there will be no drive. We are aimless without a purpose. We just basically do what feels good, and that's a mess. So I want you to think about that question as we start this message this morning. What is your purpose? And with that purpose, you may say, well, you know, my purpose is to be maybe you go to your home life. Maybe my purpose is to be a husband, or for the women here, maybe to be a wife, or to be a son, or to be a daughter. Or maybe you think about your life spiritually. Well, my purpose is to read my Bible, or to pray, or to walk with God, and maybe that's my purpose. Or maybe you go to your work, and a lot of us find fulfillment in our work. Well, my job, I do this particular job, and that is why I'm here, to do that job. And that is my purpose. And maybe for others, you may go to recreation. My purpose is to get recreation, to enjoy maybe the beach or the surfing or whatever it is that you do. That might be the purpose that comes to your mind. Or for others, it could be school or whatever the case it may be. Our minds always go to something. And the truth is, this morning, is we tend to compartmentalize our lives. But with God, there's no distinction between these distinct areas of our life. There's no distinction that it's being a Christian when you're home or when you're in church or when you're at work. you're still a Christian in those different aspects of life. I know for some it's scary when we do this, and we need to make sure that we guard against this. But sometimes we would have the mindset that at church I am one way, at home I'm one way, and then at work I may be an entirely different person. And that would mean then that we have a confused purpose. We aren't living for a purpose, because if you live for the purposes that God has for you, it will work its way into every area of life, whether it be home, church, or work, or school, whatever the case may be. Sadly, many today don't have any idea what the purpose is. Why do we do what we do? What's the purpose to life? We see in our world today many people that have no understanding of what the real purpose for life is. Some believe it's money, really. And they will pursue that purpose. And when they get it, they realize it's pretty empty. It's pretty vain. Next Sunday, not this Sunday, but next Sunday will be the playing of the 52nd Super Bowl. Again, it's the New England Patriots. And the Philadelphia Eagles. What's interesting about that is the quarterback for the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, said after he won his first Super Bowl, after he reached the height of the entire NFL, his words were, "Is this it? Is this all there is?" And he got literally no fulfillment from it. And so he went on to number two. Number three, and so on. We won't. It's not important. It's trivial. But if perhaps, by some stroke of luck, they're able to win next Sunday, he will wake up the next morning and say, "Is this it? Is this all there is?" Because he's living for something that truly has very little purpose. And in our lives, what we pursue matters. What we live for matters. And why we do what we do matters. It reminds me about the little girl who went to her mother and she said, "Mom, why do you cut the ends off of the meat before you cook it?" The mother's girl thought for a moment. She says, "Well, I suppose it's because it adds flavor by allowing the juices to enter the meat and absorb the spices and things. But, you know, maybe you should go ask your grandmother, because that's the way she taught me how to cook the meat." And so the little girl went to her grandmother and she said, "Grandma, why do you and Mom cut the ends of the meat before you cook it?" And her grandmother thought for a moment. She said, "I think it's to allow the meat to stay tender, because it soaks up all the juices better. And again, the spices are allowed to get into the meat better. But you better go ask your Nana, because I learned to do that from her. She always did it that way." So this little girl is getting frustrated. And so finally she goes to her great-grandmother and she says, "Why do you and Mom and Grandma cut the ends off of the meat before you cook it?" And the great-grandmother smiled. She says, "I'm not sure why they do it, but I cut them off because my pot wasn't big enough." There's got to be a reason for why we do what we do. We're all driven by something, whether it's by design or by default. We have to have a purpose. And we as Christians, we must live for the purpose that God has designed us to live for. We can't live according to the demands of our schedule or the expectations of others or even simple selfish pursuits, because that's always empty. Some people think that the purpose of life, again, is making money. Some say it's having as much fun as you can possibly have. Others think the purpose of life is to be popular. And they will literally embarrass themselves just to be a little bit popular. Others are saying it's to be well-liked by other people. There's nothing wrong with, again, having money or being popular or being well-liked. But if those are your purpose for life, it's going to be empty. So there's benefits for living with purpose. First of all, real quickly, I want to give you these benefits. It's going to reduce frustration. Knowing your purpose can reduce frustration because you're not doing meaningless work. Otherwise, you feel like your life is always busy and you're never accomplishing anything because, again, you don't have a purpose, and it's frustrating. Many of us have so many irons in the fire that we're literally putting out the fire. We're burning the candle at both ends, and we're not as bright as we think we are. And it's frustrating. It also, having a purpose, will increase motivation. Why do you get out of bed?
Because I have to. I know.
But no, what drives you? What gets you excited when you get out of bed? If it's nothing, oftentimes there is no purpose. Nothing that drives us, nothing that excites us. I want to do that. That's my purpose. It's why I was made. It's why I was created. When you know what God wants you to do, you will get excited. It's an amazing thing to find what God created you for and do it. It's an amazing thing. It's your purpose. You don't have time to do everything. I know. We want to be good at everything. I know I do. But you don't have time for that. And so you have to focus your energy on what's really important. And again, we talked about this before, but when we all got that text on early Saturday morning, and it told us that we were basically going to die, it really focuses your life on what's important. Suddenly the football game that was on isn't that important. Just turn that off. You call loved ones that are important to you. You make amends, you mend brokenness in relationships because that's important to you. Or for some, you just scream because that's you don't know what to do. But it's funny how those moments really do filter out what's important, what's meaningful, what's necessary. We want to find the purpose. One of golf's most memorable moments in the history of golf came when a Scottish man was demonstrating the new game to President Ulysses S. Grant. And the Scottish man was really, he's kind of nervous because the president is here. He's going to show them how to golf. And so he carefully places the golf ball on the tee, and he stands back. He gets in his stance, lines up the golf ball and lines up the club, and he takes a mighty swing. And he whiffs. He misses, and he takes a big chunk of dirt, and it flies everywhere. Some of it gets on the president. Oh, this is embarrassing. And the ball, all the while, remains peacefully on the tee. And so again, he gets back up there, and he swings again, and he whiffs again. Our president, Ulysses S. Grant, waited patiently through 6 tries, and he missed it every single time. And finally, the president says, "There seems to be a fair amount of exercise in this game, but I fail to see the purpose of the ball." And that's what happens in life. Sometimes we swing wildly. We're out there doing everything we can. We're doing all this stuff, and the reality is we've missed the whole purpose for which God intended. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we read this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." There's purpose. So how do we live our life with purpose? What is our purpose? Well, the first thing is that you have to know Christ. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Ye doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." It begins with knowing Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, there is no purpose. That's where it starts, knowing him. You have to know him. John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, "The thief came not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." God wants for you to
to have abundant life. It's an amazing thing. Now, the key with this is there's eternal life with that. That's an amazing thing. And the best life here on this earth. Now, but when I say that, you're like, ah, finally. When do I get my money? Right? The best life in this. You want to live your best life on this earth. Yes, that's, yes. That's what I'm looking for. Why come to church? Pad the bank account, right? Not exactly. The abundant life doesn't mean that everything in life will go right. In fact, the Christian life is pretty much a guarantee that a lot of stuff is going to go wrong. Yea, that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It doesn't mean that everything in life goes right. That's not what the abundant life is about at all. But what it is even though everything goes wrong, you still have joy, hope, and eternal life through Jesus Christ. And no matter what you face, no matter what trials come your way, no matter what hardships come, because they will absolutely come, and many of you are going through them right now, in Christ, you have joy. In Christ, you have hope. And in Christ, you have eternal life. And that's an amazing, abundant life. I feel really bad for people who go into the Christian life thinking it's all about the things they're going to get. Because there will be persecution. There will be trials. There will be difficulties. There will be pain. But in that you have Jesus, and that's amazing. That's the purpose for which we live. So the first thing to knowing your purpose is you have to know Jesus Christ. And I challenge you, if you don't know him today as your personal Savior, don't leave here today without knowing for sure that Jesus is your Savior. He died for you. He loves you. He rose again for you so that you might have him when you go through life. And if you don't have him, that's no way to live life. So don't leave here today without knowing Jesus Christ. But secondly, you have to forget the past. In verse 13, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." So Paul the Apostle says to the church at Philippi, hey, one thing I'm going to do. That kind of speaks to a purpose. What's he doing? This one thing, he's boiled down to this one thing. I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and I'm going to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to forget those things which are behind. Whether your past is good, whether your past is bad, you cannot dwell on it. It's the past. It's the past. If your past is bad, you cannot let it keep you from doing the Lord's purposes. And it's true. I know myself as well. We all do this. We use the past as an excuse not to serve God in the future or in the present. Well, there are some things that happened in my life, and I did some things, and some things happened to me, and I understand. We've all been there. But you can't let the past dominate your life. You have to forget the good or bad. Even the good things. The past is amazing. If it's good, that's great. That's wonderful. You can have testimonies of the past and God's goodness in the past, and that's wonderful, but that doesn't do anything for you right now except for to tell you and to remind you that living for God is worth it. But you can't rely on that for now. And again, I've talked to Christians before, and they'll tell me of the good old days, and I love the good old days. It's amazing to look back at what God has done in the past. That's why we have the Bible. We can see what he's done with the nation of Israel, bringing them out of Egypt and all of that. It's an amazing thing. It's for our example. But that was then. This is now. And even I talked to Christians saying, well, you know, I remember back when this happened and this, we did this. And it was great, wonderful. And again, that's wonderful. It's great. I'm glad we can remember those moments, but that doesn't count for today. We have to live for God today. We have to serve God today. And whatever obstacles are in there because of the past or not, we want to overcome them. We want to lay aside every sin and weight. which does so easily beset us that we can run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. That's the idea here, is for us to say, you know what? Those things in our past, good or bad, need to be set aside so that I can press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You have to maintain a right walk with God and live for him each and every day. Even yesterday is not today. You can't rely on what you did last week for tomorrow. So we have to forget those things which are behind. Third, we have to have a worthy goal. Brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Did you know that God always operates on purpose and with purpose? He does. Everything he does has a purpose. Everything. Nothing is meaningless. Nothing is vain. Nothing is oops with God. Everything he does is with a purpose. And the truth is our lives will be better if we do the same. If we live with purpose. His purpose. Have you ever noticed that if you don't have much of an agenda for your life, or even for your day, one will be provided for you? It does. This is the way it happens. If you don't say, this is what I'm going to do, you're going to end up doing some things. And life has a way of moving you. And you have to live with goals, with a purpose, with a focus. There's nothing wrong with setting goals, but there's the ultimate goal must be to serve our Lord. That has to be. And that's why we do what we do. All of it leads to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all to the glory of God. That's the goal that God has for us, is to do all for his glory. Everything that we do. So again, we set goals. We set different goals. I have different goals for my life. I have a lot of goals. I miss some. I make some. But I'm kind of goal-oriented. And the reality is I want to make sure that all of my goals point ultimately to the glory of God. That's the key, is to live for him. And then, fourthly, we have to realize our purpose is eternal. In verse 14, again, the Bible says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We talked about this a little bit in our growth group this morning, and you'll talk about it in your growth groups this week. The suddenness of life. And the reality of eternity. This life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. It's brief. Even if you get to live a quote-unquote full life, it's still brief. It's still quick. And then comes eternity. The rest. And we want to live our lives with eternity in view. For that purpose. Because one day this life will come to an end. It will. Either for us by death or by rapture, it's not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. And so you need to prepare for that and live for that purposes. As many of you know, my family and I just recently got back from vacation to Montana. For the first 2 days of those trips, we stayed in a hotel room, and then we're going to meet up with the rest of my family at a ranch house. Middle of nowhere. And because we knew that we were only in the hotel room for 2 days, we didn't unpack our suitcases. We left them and we opened the suitcase, we got what we needed, put it back, so that we were prepared to go when the time came to go to the ranch. But then later in the trip, we actually got into a house and we were going to be there for a week, ended up being there for a little bit more than a week, but we unpacked our suitcases, got them in drawers, got it all nice, hang things up in the closet, put the suitcases, zipped them all up, put them in a pile over in the corner. They were empty. We unpacked because we're going to be there for a while. And you know what's interesting? We are only going to be here on earth for a brief time. But compared to eternity, it's just a weekend trip. It's just a couple days. And sometimes we spend all of our energy trying to get comfortable and successful in this life. Here. But it's so, you're not going to be here very long. You know, don't put up paintings in the hotel room. Don't remodel your hotel. You're not going to be there for a couple days. Don't waste your money there. Send it on ahead. And that's one of the purposes for this life as Christians. We are not going to be in this life forever. We are going to live in eternity with God forever if we know Jesus Christ. So send it on ahead. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt, where neither thieves do break through nor steal. Live in light of eternity. Not for the temporal things, for the eternal things. Because it's so easy to become so, and I do this as well, you know, and it's interesting. I just had a conversation with my financial advisor who's helping us invest our money, and I'm praying to God that I can just send it on ahead, because it's not much in this life. Let me tell you, it's not much. He's trying to tell me, well, it's because there's this downturn and that downturn. I'm like, bro, there's lots of money making. Anyway. I don't got a lot of stock in this life. It's vastly diminishing. And so it better be laid up ahead. The reality is, yeah, it can be comfortable. It can be. You know, you can get a nice house, and you can have a couple nice houses, or whatever you want to have. And you can have some nice cars and some things, and whatever you fancy. But in the end, it all stays here. And eventually, it all gets consumed by fire. It's interesting. We talked about that in our growth group. Now, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about there's a foundation that we build upon. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, it'll be consumed by fire. And then now, if it's built as gold, silver, precious stones, those are the things that will last. Eventually, everything that's here in this life will be consumed by fire. And the works that you do, make sure it's not all for here. I understand. You need a place to stay. I get that. And there's nothing wrong with investing. Please don't misunderstand me. But you better have in mind there's two portfolios. There's this life, and there's the next. And when you get to the next, you can make no withdrawals from this one. And that's important. That we live for eternity. Again, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that you shouldn't invest. I'm not saying those things. I'm not saying you shouldn't prepare for the future. I'm not saying you should leave an inheritance for your children, because you should. Absolutely. But keep in mind eternity, because that's where it really matters. See, we paint the walls of our hotel rooms. We put in new carpet. We refinish the furniture. We hang some pictures on the walls, but we're only there for 2 days. Don't get too comfortable and forget the purpose for why we're really here. You see, pleasure won't last. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, King Solomon speaks of pleasure. He says, "And whatsoever mine eye desired, I kept not from them." That's an amazing statement. He was the king. He was wealthy. And anything his eyes desired, he did. Wow. I mean, if he wanted lapperts, he ate lapperts. Anything. He did it. For me, I have to abstain for a little while. I'm on a diet. But King Solomon, whatever, whenever, he did it. Whatever his desires were. And he tested everything in life. Whoa. He says, "I withheld help in my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. And then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Amen. Pleasure won't last. Possessions won't last. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." And I don't know if you've heard this, but I've heard preachers say this all the time. You've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. Guess what? It's been photographed. Something about North Dakotans anyway. But they're not taking that stuff with them, even if they got a U-Haul. It's not going with them. Possessions won't last. Prestige won't last. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 30, Jesus says, "But many that are first shall be last. And the last shall be first." So you say, well, I want to be the most powerful person. I want to be the most wealthy. I want to be the most popular person. It's not going to last. There's a saying from Pass the Pirate, the club that was this year. There's only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Then Pass the Pirate says this. There's only two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing self. One doesn't last. One will last forever. And that's your choice. So live your life with purpose. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. I thank you for this church. God, I do pray that you would bless us as we seek to honor you. I pray that you would help us, God, to live for you. I pray that, God, that you would help us to live with a purpose for which you've called us to live. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for your word. I thank you for giving us a purpose. And God, my prayer is now that during this time of invitation, you'd help us to decide today to live on purpose.